There's absolutely no chance of hail and lightning, I hope, here today, because the skies are blue and Kenny Deary sits opposite me, Chief Executive of Galway Chamber, so he lights up the room with us as well. Kenny, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
We're looking at nightclubs. I haven't been in a nightclub since 1988, but I see where there's two nightclubs about to reopen. One of them tonight, Galway Nightclub, indeed, Electric, reopening after 4 years closed.
Absolutely. And just before I get into that, Keith, I want to give a call out. I've just come from Dublin. We were at the Guaranteed Irish Business Awards last night in the RDS. Wow. And there was a great showcase again of Galway businesses and Galway presence there, and being honoured and accorded. You had companies like Revive Active, Callpal, Irish Society, EC Precision there. And then our very own former minister and commissioner, Maura Gagan-Quinn, received a special recognition award and was the honoree of the night. So Galway, wow, Galway was on the main stage in Dublin. It wasn't a Dublin gig last night, so just very proud and congratulations to all involved. To your question in terms of nightclubs and Galway, this is really positive news. I know sometimes people mention nightclubs and they think of a negative connotation, yeah, or association with them, but from a business perspective, from a Galway perspective, we have one of the things that makes Galway really attractive, as we know, is the arts, the culture community, and part of that is driven by the nighttime economy. And this opening tonight has brought great excitement, and I know your previous speakers, you referenced it as well. It's bringing an energy into the city, and particularly for those of a certain age, kind of in the 18 through to early to mid 30s, and a few of us who still aspire that we're somewhere in that bracket. It's another offering on the social calendar at night for Galway.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when once upon a time, Salt Hill had 11 nightclubs, and Galway had quite a few nightclubs, and then all of a sudden, no nightclubs. And now we're back. Well, I know there was one, yeah. But I mean, now we're back to Electric, and I see the Cuba, which was in Prospect Hill, that's reopening as well.
And listen, this is really positive news. To be fair, in the void when the nightclubs closed, and COVID obviously was a significant amplifier of that, some of the business owners in town and the pub owners really modified their operation and have done very well to try and fill that gap and the void. So you have some bars who brought in a kind of a disco bar angle and brought in live bands and music, and that'll continue. This isn't displacement, this is actually adding to the offering of Galway, and I think that's what's really positive about the news that we have, even in tonight's opening. And I think the other piece, Keith, as well, which is really important for those who look at the streetscape of Galway, there are a certain amount of, and unfortunately the percentage is high enough, of empty and derelict buildings. Mm-hmm. When we're seeing these type of venues being invested in and reopening, there's also an aspect of an urban regeneration piece to it. And then also at night time, once the pubs finish, what you have in many ways is a proliferation of people out onto the streets, which causes its own challenges. Yeah. This will actually minimise an aspect of that and bring greater structure in terms of the flow of people and what the streetscape looks like from 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning onwards. And to be fair to the nighttime businesses in Galway, there's a great cohesion, even though they may be seen to be competing. Their security teams and the security staff work hand in glove together, yeah, with each other and, yeah, with the guards. And I don't doubt that that'll continue with these openings over the next few weeks.
And I mean, from an opening point of view, a closing point of view then, roughly, or do you know, because I haven't a clue, what is closing time?
I think an aspect of that is going to be driven by the market. Also, new legislation, as you know, is being brought in or in process in terms of potential closing up to 6 a.m. And I don't necessarily know, will the Galway market need that? Will that happen here? But that's what is right across Europe. And I think it's one of the interesting things. I don't know if you recall, but on the delegation in Chicago 2 years ago, we were part of a meeting with the IDA, and it was interesting. This type of discussion comes up sometimes when you're, yeah, looking at companies, looking at places like Galway versus Berlin versus Amsterdam and other cities. They look at everything, and an aspect of it is if they're attracting young tech talent to Galway, a big part of it is what is the nightlife like. And I think this type of an offering is a great addition. And I think what you'll see is they won't be open until 6 a.m. if the legislation is enacted, if it's a case that customers don't want it. But if some do and there are certain nights, then why not? Because that's what's happening in many modern cities right across the world.
Huge investment, I would think. No, again, I have never been in Electric, even when it was open. I have never been in that building. But I mean, significant investment to get it up and running again.
Significant investment to get it up and running. And then the operations of these type of facilities, there's a lot of health and safety and security considerations that go into it as well. And they're necessary, but that also adds to the cost. So we really hope, I know certainly there's been discussion, quite a number of corners that I've been in the last few days. There's been a lot of people talking either about their kids being excited because they've managed to get tickets for tonight's opening, and people just looking forward to going. And I do hope that the business is well supported so that they actually get the return on investment, and it may even attract more into looking at exploring further investments.
Is it that big an event that if you get the ticket for tonight to go?
Oh, I think absolutely. It's hotly contested, and it's interesting. The Kate Howard, the nighttime economy officer at Galway City Council, hosted another workshop yesterday because there's a big focus coming on the nighttime economy in Galway. And to be fair, Kate is doing a great piece of work. But in chatting with her even, it's amazing the amount of excitement that there is about tonight's opening.
Wow, somebody said, Keith, some taxi drivers do not like dealing with late night revellers. Too messy with drink, etc. God help the Gardaí and the people living in the city.
I think this is no different than what we have at present. And what we have at present, as I said,
40 years ago.
Absolutely. Unfortunately or fortunately, and I think there's a wonderful magic to Galway in terms of the fact that it is a vibrant city. And there is a vibrancy without a doubt between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And this will add to it. I think the most important thing, and for that listener who may have concerns, is it's interesting. I end up in the nighttime economy quite a bit myself as part of my role. And what I see in terms of the safety measures in Galway at night, our security staff really, really working hand in glove with each other across competing premises and with the guards. And I have to say, in terms of the experience that has been had, and always when you're bringing investors or potential companies looking at investing in Galway, there has always been, in my experience anyways, a really positive experience. And I don't see that changing, because the investors in this project will want to make sure that it works, and indeed in further clubs that may look at opening.
Keith, great news, Re-Electric, and the reopening there. Many a great courting was had there. I have to look up what that word means.
Well, we need to get yourself and Joan in to Electric some night.
I said in 1988, I walked out of a nightclub and I never walked back into it again. You wouldn't be a frequenter of a nightclub at all.
I have to say, there were Galway businesses in Dublin last night celebrating, and we might have been seen doing a few wiggles and moves on the dance floor at a certain time this morning.
That's all right. Listen, thank you for popping into us. Good luck to them. And Cuba, by the way, Prospect Hill, that's another big investment there.
It certainly is. And we're seeing investment like there has been, I think, what's wonderful. And again, our product in the city is really strong, but it always could be better. And we're seeing a lot of investments from existing premises into their facilities for the year ahead. And we've seen some new openings as well, and that can't be but positive. And as the facade of the city changes, the more premises that improve, grow or reopen, it's only for the betterment of us all.
And you're going to the Cree Ball tonight?
Going to the Cree Ball tonight. I'm actually on my way to the university now. So we've the Regional Business Summit, and led by the University of Galway in collaboration with ITEG and Galway Chambers. So speaking at that after a while. And then we have the Cree Ball tonight, which again is another fantastic West of Ireland driven organisation. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a great celebration of what has been achieved in terms of Cree, both in terms of helping people who have had cardiac events, and also the big growth area in preventative cardiology. So I think we'll hear and see more about that tonight. And it's a super fundraiser, and I think the city is also agog with Daffodil Day and the Irish Cancer Society as well. So yeah, there's lots of great community spirit and giving, and I think there'll be good energy around the city today and indeed tonight.
All right, listen, enjoy, get some time off as well over the weekend, for God's sake. Thanks for joining us. Kenny Deary, CEO of Galway Chamber, joining us there. An Electric opening, and Cuba eventually opening as well, in Prospect Hill. And it was a big name in its day, as was Electric too. Commercial break, back after these. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday. Creche closure. If our wealthy farmers wanted financial help, the government would be throwing money at them. Why can't they do the same for creche and nursing homes, this caller says. Keith, a big hello to Tomás Devan, who is a new HG getting excellent care. And Keith, would you please remind people and listeners, it's Daffodil Day today, and to donate as well. and other calls coming in there too. I'm joined in studio by Karen Roberts, who come in to me here, if you don't mind, today. Karen, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good.
I just have to get you a microphone there, if you don't mind. Just bear with me one second. Now, talk to me. Ireland's largest holistic event returns to Galway this coming Sunday, the 24th of March. It's the Galway Mind and Body Experience.
It is indeed. We're there twice a year. It's Freddie Roberts organises it. So it's a fantastic local event. There'll be over maybe 70-odd mixed stalls. There's about 20-odd readers. Myself, I make my own natural remedies. I'll be there selling those. There'll be hundreds of people through the door. It's a fantastic venue. It's in Leisureland. It opens to the public at 10 o'clock until 7 o'clock. And it's just good to connect again with kind of regular people that come in, new people. So if you're looking for, like, say, readings, if you're looking for...
What do you mean
crystals,
by readings are you talking about?
So there would be a mixture. I think there's probably about 20-odd different readers, angel cards, tarot cards. A lot of people will be coming in looking for some clarity, looking for some answers. I don't do that myself, so it'd be the readers should need to talk to themselves. That side, I have had readings through the shows. It's just nice to get answers sometimes, to get some guidance, some clarity.
Yeah.
So there would be about 20-odd maybe doing that.
And when you say readings then, I mean, are there charges then for those readings?
There would be. There would be charges for the time used. That would be up to the individual reader what they would charge.
Yeah. And yourself, you were saying that you're in the holistic side of it then?
I am. So I've been doing maybe for over 15 years. I make my own natural remedies, wild witch remedies. I'm local in the area. I'm in Dwishka. So I would forage. So what would be classed as a weed in your garden, I would turn into, say, a psoriasis eczema cream. My local chemist, particularly Merlin Pharmacy, would stock some of the remedies. Amber in town on Mary Street. So a wholesale as well. So, yeah, I would do probably up to 50-odd remedies at this stage. I work with crystals infused in them, essential oils. So it's for mind, body, spirit. I would see, as a holistic therapist, a lot of anxiety, depression. So it spins off from that. I do bioenergy, I do Reiki. Mm. I've recently learned EFT, which I found fantastic. It's got rid of my dental phobia that I've had since a kid. So I know firsthand how a lot of it would work.
We do carry a lot of phobias forward with us, don't we?
We do. It's how we were treated
from
as kids.
Particularly
in the dentist as kids.
Amber joins me now as well. Amber Doyle, good morning. How are you?
Hello. Good morning.
I can't see you. I'll have to pull you around there. You're hiding behind the microphone there.
Hello.
What's your speciality, Amber?
My speciality is in Reiki energy healing and tarot reading.
And how does tarot reading work, can I ask you?
So I kind of run my tarot reading where someone comes into me, I usually do a Reiki energy healing with them. I pick up on their energy, on anything that could be going on with them, and then it comes out in the cards. So that's usually what it does. So it pulls on the energy of the person that I'm working with. If they come into me just for a general tarot reading, or if they're with me online with a tarot reading, it's still pulling from the energy from the person. So with the cards out, between a mixture of angel cards, oracle cards, tarot cards, I paint a picture and it relates back to their lives in certain areas of their lives. It could be career, family, love, anything like that.
And what happens if you see something negative in there?
lots of people worry that I'm going to pull a death card. but, you know, I don't really see too many negative things. A lot of the time, it's pulling on anything that someone's worried about. So if someone comes into me and they're worried about, say, their relationship, the health of their relationship, or they're kind of thinking about leaving a job, they're not too sure. Yes, it can come out negative in terms of, like, that I'm not feeling that they're very happy. Mm. I'm feeling like they're a bit alone, that they're quite underwhelmed and things like that. But there's always a solution, I suppose, and it'll be up to them how they interpret what I'm saying from the cards to make a decision in their life moving forward.
And do you ever do the cards for yourself?
I used to do the cards for myself, and I went down a little rabbit hole with that. And I think, to be honest, I wouldn't do it for myself anymore, just because it's subjective. Mm. And I'm probably going to pick up on whatever I want to see rather than what might be actually there if someone else read it for me.
Excuse me, you were saying though, Karen, there's quite a few people like Amber there on Sunday.
Yeah, there would be. I think there's probably about 20-odd different readers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gave me a cough since she came in.
Picking up on your energy.
She you can have a black throat chakra.
She can have,
she, we can work on that one.
She can have, she can have the throat as well. So she can, yeah, but you were saying, I mean, so there will be many readers there on Sunday.
Yeah, I actually amn't doing, I'm not in one of the reader segments. I will actually be, I'm doing two talks during the day. Mm. And then I'll actually have a stall where I just basically do Reiki. So if someone wants to come in for a 30-minute session or a 20-minute session just to see what it's like. I don't love doing that because it's quite a busy environment, but people actually seem to enjoy it when they're in. So I do offer that as a little thing that they can come to me for, and then they can pick a card. So anyone that's passing through, I'll leave my card decks out. They can pick a card and I'll do a quick flash, you know, what that might mean, yeah, if they need it.
Is there a charge into the Galway Mind and Body Experience?
No, that would be free entry.
Free entry?
Yeah. So there's a lot for the whole day. Do you know, it covers, I think, all angles, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's great.
From 10 o'clock until 7, like, you're talking about 9 hours there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you buzz off the energy?
Oh, really?
It is great crack. And you reconnect with customers, new people. To me, like, I've been doing that for about 15 years. So to me, I just love that energy of it as well. You just bounce, I think, throughout the day. Like, I'm about 3 weeks getting ready now with my remedies. So kind of being below the radar.
Yeah.
Lotion potion making, if you like. So, but yeah, I just think it's a great environment for everybody coming in.
Mm. And then you kind of live off that then, off the adrenaline of that for a few days.
You do. A bit. I think I come down maybe on Monday. Mm. I'll be having a nice relaxing one on Monday, just unwind and...
You said to me earlier on that it's Freddie Roberts. So does he specialise in putting on these? Or
he does. I've been doing them for approximately 15 years. So it would be every Sunday in a different county. So usually when I was getting a lift with them, I was very jammy, I was getting a lift with Freddie and Lorraine Roberts. So it'd be maybe 3-4 in the morning, travelling. You could be Sligo, Dublin, Mayo. So every weekend they're in a different county.
So it's a full-time?
So it's a full-time. I haven't done these in about a year now, so Galway's my local one. So I say it's great just to be on my own doorstep as well and reconnect with customers.
Wow. And do you set up on Saturday then, is it?
Sorry?
Do you set up on Saturday?
No, we'll be up bright and breezy on Sunday morning in there. It all gets transformed, Leisure Land. It'll be a blank canvas. We go in, work our magic, set up our own stands, tables. It all comes together. We have about 2 hours, I think, to get ready,
yeah,
don't we,
Amber? Pandemonium. I actually work in events, so I'm always like looking at Freddie with admiration. It's fun. Everyone's coming in at the one time. Everyone's setting up, and it's lovely. I am a real magpie, more so, and I love going around to all the stalls, and I definitely end up supporting other locals while I'm there.
Yeah,
because there's so many fabulous stuff.
Which is important, though, to support others from there. Again, if they want to get further detail, do you have, Amber, a website they can go to, or what's it?
Yeah, of course. So if they're interested in Reiki or Tarot, it's www.ambermoonholistic.com.
Amber Moon.
So Amber Moon Holistic.
Yeah, .com from there. And Karen, have you a website?
I do indeed. So it's www.wildrichremedies.com.
Wildrichremedies.com. Or ICH. Remedies.com for further details there. How many so in total will be participating on?
So there'll be, as in the traders, about 70 odd stalls and 20 odd readers.
Wow.
There'll be hundreds through the door.
A lot. It's very, very busy all day. Like, you don't really get too much time, too much of a downtime. And then you've a lot of reader segments as well, or speaker segments. So I'll be doing 2 speaker slots during the day. So there's a lot of really interesting talks that people can go to and workshops as well. They can do the shopping, and then they can also try out different remedies. They can see if they like, you know, Reiki or different things like, I suppose, massage or different elements of holistic healing.
Yeah, whatever suits them from there, yeah. Guys, thanks for joining us. Amber, what time are you talking at then? Do you know?
I actually don't know.
Make sure you're on time.
I will. I will. I have all of the list that Freddie sent out. So I will be there doing 2 talks, one about manifestation and one about heart healing.
Heart healing?
Mm.
Talk to me.
So I did that actually last year as well, and we had people sitting on the stairs. It was so busy. So heart healing is all about, I suppose, we've all had our heart broken through grief, sadness, you know, breakups and everything like that, or just in general, just going through a hard time for ourselves personally. And I work through, I suppose, healing the heart chakra. So that is all about releasing anything mm-hmm. from the past and then allowing new energy to come in. So it's all about your mindset. So I work a lot with mindset, a lot with the energy mm-hmm. To lift anything that is blocking you from, I suppose, moving forward in your life or receiving new love into your life. So it's always really interesting. But I do a nice guided meditation during that session, a lot of breath work and just talking about what healing the heart chakra means for everybody.
Good stuff. Guys, thanks for joining us. So the Galway Mind and Body Experience is taking place this coming Sunday, the 24th of March, 2024. 10 o'clock until 7 o'clock. It'll be easy to talk to you Monday morning, so it will. Karen, it'll be rightly easy to talk to you on Monday morning. But thanks to you for joining us today on the programme.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good morning to you. Now, yet to come on the programme, by the way, we have a lovely author coming the way, and she's got a brand new book out. Her name is Ruth O'Leary, and the book is called The Weekend Break. So stay tuned for that. More to come between now and the end of today's programme. A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I'm joined in studio this morning by Ruth O'Leary, who's an author of a new book out, which is doing extremely well, called The Weekend Break. And Ruth has spent some time in Galway, and the book is very much about Galway, but also a story of friends together. Ruth, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here.
Good to have you, and thanks for popping down and joining us. You were in Galway in the 80s?
I know. I can hardly believe that it was 1988, but yeah, I came down to Galway. And I was working for John Ryan Travel when they had their big office on the corner of Air Square there. And I absolutely loved it. I lived in a bedsit, if some of your listeners are old enough to remember what bedsits were, in White Strand Park. And it was absolutely perfectly ideal. We had our bedsits for £20 a week and walked to work every day. Mm. No, it was great. I really enjoyed it.
And, I mean, are you a writer or is this your first book?
This is my first book, and I never thought that I was going to write a book. So over the years, I've written short stories and I've had them published in Ireland's Own and Woman's Way. And it was only when I joined an online writing group in February 2020 called Writers Inc. I started writing more and more. I kind of thought of it like an apprenticeship because I was learning about writing but also learning about the publishing industry. And there was a group of people in my writers group. Now, there's over 70 people in it, right, from all around the world. And they were writing books and said, you know, why don't you write a book, write a bit more than your short stories?
Yeah.
And I actually said, oh, there's no way I could do that. And they said, oh, we'll give it a go. So there was a thing called NaNoWriMo, which stands for National Novel Writing Month, and it's on in November every year. And the idea is you write 50,000 words over 30 days. So it's a huge amount of words, but the idea is you don't think about it, right? So I thought, ah, sure, I'll give it a go. So I did that, and before I got to the end of it, I knew I was going to make the 50,000. And I remember thinking, well, if I can write 50,000 in 30 days, surely I can write 80,000 over a year or something. Mm. And it just unblocked what they call a limiting belief nowadays, but it just unblocked this idea that I think I just thought other people wrote books.
Yeah, and that you weren't in a
And I wasn't in that gang, yeah. And maybe it's because I never went to college. I went straight from school to work or whatever, that I probably thought, oh, only people who went and studied English or creative writing could write a book. And luckily, because in my writers group, they interview loads of authors. There are so many authors who've never gone to college, and there's so many authors who never did writing courses even. So Marion Keyes is famous for saying she's never done a writing course in her life. She just sits down and writes what comes into her head. Mm-hmm. So that was about November 2020. And we were in lockdown, even though we tried to push that so far to the back of our minds. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna write a book. And around that time of the year, November, I would normally be organising my own women's weekend away. Mm-hmm. We'd normally go away in springtime. And because I'd worked in the travel business for over 20 years, it was normally me who made the arrangements. So I thought, okay, well, if I was doing that anyway, why don't I write about a weekend break? So literally the name just came, The Weekend Break. And then I thought, well, where will I have my characters go? And at the time, none of us knew when we were going to see an airport or an airplane. So I thought, I'm not writing about that. So I just thought, well, Galway, because I can't go to Galway, But apart from living here in the 80s, I'd been back a good few times. And I'd been back for my 50th birthday with my women friends. I'm 57 now. And we came and celebrated my 50th during the Galway Arts Festival. So the characters in this book actually stay in the same apartments that we did. They eat in the same restaurants we did. They have their breakfast in Ardbeia, of course. And so I had enough memories and own lived experience of being in Galway to choose that as my location for these women.
So it really is a quintessential Galway walking book.
Yeah.
But take me back to the beginning. Take me back. I don't want to ruin the story because it's on the bestsellers list at number 7 for your first book. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I haven't come across that before, so good to have you here. But go back to Houston Station then.
Yeah. So the whole idea, how I got this idea as well was, like, it was November, it was coming up to Christmas, and you know the way groups of people might be going out for dinner, you meet friends at Christmas, or we must meet up before Christmas and you go to a restaurant. And a lot of times, I've even found this myself, that at the end of the night, if someone was sitting down the other end of the table, you'd say, oh, geez, I never got a chance to talk to you all night. And also, if you had a problem or an issue that was really getting you down or something that had gone wrong in your life, you're not going to tell people on a night out. But on a weekend away, it opens up that space for those conversations to happen. So the first 12 hours of a weekend away is always really exciting. And people are, like, my four women are arriving at Houston Station and they're so looking forward to getting away from their problems. They've no intention of telling anybody their problems. So they're excited, and immediately, like, one of the women arrives by taxi with her designer suitcases and she's all the business. And one of my other women is, like, squashed on the red line Lewis with her battered suitcase that she's had for 20 years. So immediately there is a financial difference between those.
And you set the scene.
An economic difference without having to go into it, you know?
Mm.
And so these women have, you know, they've got, some of them have got their hair done and they've picked out their clothes. So they're all excited and looking forward to this weekend.
Mm.
And, but then you might find yourself, if you go away in a weekend, you might have coffee with someone the next day and they might say, ah, my dad's not doing too well or whatever. Or you might play a game of golf and someone might say, you know, that one of their kids has got into trouble or something. They're conversations that can only happen
over a weekend. So it's kind of a lifestyle thing that happens on a weekend like that.
Yeah, because you have the space.
So you take them through the streets of Galway, and you've mentioned, or the Bia there, you've mentioned all the other areas. So you take them on this tour, and again, you take them through the tour and out the other end.
Yes, because they get on that train in Houston Station on a Friday morning. And by the time they get back on the train in Galway on Sunday, their lives are changed forever, the four women.
Mm.
So, and they never expected that, obviously. Yeah, so they, something come, it's a series of events that happens in Galway that all these problems and secrets come out. And then it's about, will their loyalty and friendship be strong enough to you know, for the fallout of all of this. So they actually meet about 3 months later in Wexford in Rosslare Strand, and that's when we see, that's when we know about the fallout.
It's no wonder that it went in. I mean, were you surprised that it went in as, on the bestseller list at number 7?
Absolutely shocked. I mean, I'm a newbie. You know, I'm new to all of this, so I'm not even sure how the system works. But I know I got loads of sales in the airport, and I think if you're going on a weekend break and you see a book with the weekend break written on it, you might pick it up. I think it's more than just a women's fiction book, because there are elements that the issues that they're dealing with are relatable, I think. And people have really cottoned on to that. They've seemed to have related with one or even more characters.
Mm.
And even if they don't have the same problems, they find themselves stuck in similar situations. And I had somebody contacted me, and she's only 27. My women are 40 in the book. They're around 40. And she said it really resonated with her. And I was very surprised, you know, for somebody in their 20s. But I guess anytime you have a problem that you can't see the way out of, And then, you know, unless you're nearly forced to confront it like these are, that's a common theme, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, I mean, you're in Galway with us. You came down on a fairly packed train, say this morning. And are you signing copies in Galway?
Yes, I was here last weekend, Thursday and Friday, and I have signed copies in... I signed copies in Easons Dubray and Charlie Burns and Easons out in Headford. But Dubray are sold out now, but Charlie Byrne and Easons, and the two Easons still have my signed copies in there. So
isn't that a huge problem to have that Dubray's are sold out? Yeah.
I know. And I only called into Charlie Burns on spec because I love that store. Yeah. And I didn't even expect to see it. And my husband spotted it. And then we got all excited and they were so lovely down there. We were taking photos and everything. I just didn't expect it to be in there, you know. Mm-hmm.
But you must pinch yourself then when you go along and you see the Weekend Break on the window of Easons Dubray or Charlie Burns. You must kind of tickle yourself. That's me. I created that.
I know, out of nothing. So, and that, like, it's an amazing thing to create characters. Now, I work as a movie extra when I'm not writing. So I work freelance as a movie extra. So even in my day job, I'm watching scripts being turned into characters front of my eyes. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's Fair City or it's Vikings or the new Cillian Murphy one, All the Small Things. I had a small day in that. So I guess it all seeps through when you're working in that kind of industry as well. But yeah, book station, I walked into a book station. I didn't even walk in because I was stopped in my tracks because they had it in the window. And I didn't know it was going to be in the window. Mm-hmm. So the manager came out and gave me a hug because I was so excited. So I guess I don't think you could ever get tired of seeing your book on a shelf.
No, it's the graphics on it are lovely as well. It's on the Poolbeg
Books. And if you don't want to leave your warm house, and I don't blame you today, it's wet and wild out there, you can order online and get free delivery from any of the major ones, Easons Book Stations, Kenny's. Everybody.
Ruth O'Leary, the author of The Weekend Break, thank you indeed for popping down and meeting with us and talking to us today. It's called The Weekend Break by Ruth O'Leary. You can't miss it. It's just a beautiful kind of blue colour in the front of it, and enjoy it from there. And I started reading that last night, I have to say, and it was absolutely beautifully written, I have to say. And I'm looking forward to kind of getting stuck into it again. Now, let me go to Amy Nolan, who's the clinical director indeed with the Irish Cancer Society. And we mentioned earlier on that it is Daffodil Day, and it's a very important day indeed for the Irish Cancer Society. And she joins me on the line. Morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning. I am great. I'm actually here at St. James's Hospital, and our daffodil nurse and volunteers are here selling daffodils. And lots of other merchandise. There's actually a queue at the table, so we're really delighted with how things are going.
It's a big day for the Irish Cancer Society and the work that you do, and the funding indeed towards the work that you do as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge day, and it's the biggest day for us to fundraise for various supports and services that we have in the Irish Cancer Society, and also to fund for research. So we are the largest voluntary funders of research in the Republic of Ireland of cancer research. And so 30 years ago, the statistics were pretty stark, where 3 out of 10 people would survive cancer. But now we're looking at statistics and 6 out of 10 people will survive cancer. So that's massively due to the research and the amount of funding that has been allocated to that over the years. And we also have amazing supports and services for patients when they're diagnosed with cancer. Across counselling and also for children as well. We have specific grants for children because the cost of a cancer diagnosis is phenomenal. Even the cost of car parking, it all adds up. So this is such a special day for us, and we're delighted with the enthusiasm that's out there today.
Now, again, it is indeed the 22nd of March, so it is, but they can buy a daffodil because, I mean, you've got great support here in Galway from, I remember Anne Flanagan was heavily involved, I'm sure she's still involved to a point, but they can buy a daffodil or a Daffodil Day merchandise on the street, but from sellers. They can make a donation by calling 1850 60 60 60. They can go to the Galway Cancer, go to www.cancer.ie.
And they can also text the word DAFF, D-A-F-F, to 50300 and donate €4. But all of that money then goes back into the research that you're talking about.
Yeah, it all goes back into the research. It goes in the last year, we have provided over 22,000 drives. So to bring patients from their home directly to the hospital for their treatment and collect them and bring them back again, which takes that worry out of that drive. Also helps with the cost, because obviously diesel and petrol, the cost of that has gone up remarkably over the last year. And so it's a really good way for patients to be transported to hospital. We've provided over 6,800 nights of night nursing care. So for people who are unfortunately dying, they can die at home, around surrounded by their family and the familiarity of home, as our night nurses can attend them at night time and give the families a rest as well and provide them with the care and attention that they need. It's a huge support for families. And we've also had over 28,000 calls to our nursing support line, which is 1-800-200-700. And I'm very conscious that today there will be people who have just been diagnosed with cancer. And it just turns your world upside down. So we would just say to people that they feel free to make that call to our oncology cancer nurses, who can provide advice and support to those patients at that time, and also to families, because for families and carers, it's a really difficult time as well, and you really want to support your family. But just to mention, we couldn't do any of this without the people. It's an army of yellow out there all across the country, like you mentioned in Galway. Mm-hmm. And without the support of local people, we could not do this. And so we're really phenomenally grateful for that support as well.
Absolutely. Can you give me that number again, Amy Nolan, if you don't mind, please, that they can call?
Yes. It's 1-800-200-700.
And 700.
And there are nurses there waiting to take those calls.
And that's a free and confidential service to somebody that might be newly diagnosed, that they want to just talk, to somebody from there. You're also asking them to take selfies, I'm told, Amy.
We're all about the social media, absolutely. We want to see the yellow go across the country, and everybody's going all in against cancer this year. That is our line, and we want to see that across all sorts of social media. So Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it, we would love to see that. So please take your selfies, show us what you're doing, and show us how you're supporting us. We would love to see that.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're in St. James's Hospital, so you're very close to the new Children's Hospital as well. And again, children do
very get, close.
Children do get cancer as well, unfortunately, and we know all about that down
unfortunately
here.
Poor Saoirse, a beautiful, beautiful girl, beautiful heart, and did so much to raise awareness of childhood cancer as well, her and her family. Mm-hmm. There are unfortunately 200 children diagnosed with cancer every year. And the survivorship rate is usually very good at 85%. But obviously, as you've experienced in Galway, through Saoirse, there are children who do pass away. So we're very conscious of children and how we can support them and their families in that. We have a children's grant of €3,000 when a child is diagnosed with cancer, because, as you can imagine, those children have to come up to Crumlin, DHI Crumlin, as it is now, and the new children's hospital soon, which is a distance for them to travel. There's often children that are left at home. Somebody has to give up work, so there's a huge financial impact. We have a lovely new service that we've started in the last year, and it's developmentally appropriate creative arts therapies. So that's music therapy, art therapy, drama therapy, for both the children that have cancer and also for their siblings. Because oftentimes the focus is so much on the child that has cancer, which is the way it's going to be, but the siblings are left behind a little bit, and they do need that support and they need that psychological care and therapy. Mm. And so it's just a fantastic service that's had great outcomes already. So we're really proud of that service too.
And can I ask you just briefly, I mean, how does that operate? Just tell me how it...
Yeah, so if anybody is listening and they're interested, they can call our support line, and we can direct them to our music therapist, Roisin Hayes. and Roisin will identify a therapist close to the area that the child lives in. And so all our therapists have been Garda vetted and have also are registered with the Irish Association of Creative Arts Therapists. And so she's interviewed them all. So she will identify a therapist close to the child's home, and either the therapist will go into the home, if that's what the family would like, or else the child can go to the therapist's premises.
Wow.
So it's really a bespoke service, and it's really what the family wants and what they will benefit from.
And again, anything that just diverts the thought process and gives peace of mind to the person in question. I love the idea of that, so do Amy, I have to say. But listen,
and do you know what has worked really well is, and this has been interesting to me, is because the relationship changes between siblings and children. So when the child has cancer and the other child, you know, the relationship and the dynamic in a family changes. So our therapists have worked together with siblings to kind of heal that relationship and, you know, to bring them together to do something together. So it's just amazing, how that benefits families too.
All right. Amy Nolan, thank you indeed for joining us. But the number is 1800 200 700. And again, any details that you want to get, you can get from there, 1-800-200-700. Now listen to me, Amy Nolan, there's no sneaking over to Guinness's or down the road to Guinness's from St. James's, do you hear me?
I can smell the hops from here.
Bet you can, I know the area well. Listen, thanks for joining us today.
Great.
Keep up the good work, and thank
you
indeed for joining us. Not at all, anytime. The Irish Cancer Society's Amy Nolan joining us there. I take back what I said. I said there will absolutely be no sign of hail and lightning and all that type of stuff. It's absolutely pitch force in Sandy Road currently. So if you're out and about, or you're on a bike and or otherwise, and take it nice and handy. But it's absolutely lashing here, and it's hail as well. But the sky might go blue again. Now, yet to come to the programme, by the way, we'll be going to Galway Thoughts. And on Galway Thoughts today, we have Chris McManus joining us, Senator John Kyne, John Morley and myself, and we're looking at the appointment of Simon Harris, or maybe not, Independent Ireland, and the ground that they're gaining there. And we're also speaking about Gaza. So that and more between on the end of the programme. Plus, we'll be having a preview of sport moving forward as well, as to what's on for the weekend and what to expect. So if you want to get questions into our panel, feel free to do so on 091 77 00 77. And you can also text us to 086 38 33 55 3. That's 086 38 33 55 3 if they survive the weather outside. Now then, let's head towards the 11 o'clock news and death notices with the news team. And we'll be back just after this.